Turn, if you would, with me to Galatians chapter 5 as we begin this series. We're going to begin our study this morning on the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to just read through this section, beginning at verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16 and following. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Father, we pray that you would open up our hearts to your word this morning as we begin this series, and help us, Lord, to be moved by your Spirit to allow you to do your work in us according to your plan. In Jesus' name, amen. When we lived, first moved into this area a long time ago, we lived in a little town, moved into a little town called Bentley, Illinois. Anybody ever hear of Bentley, Illinois? Yeah, great little town. We lived there for, I think it was 16, 17 years as we pastored and ministered there. But one of the most exciting things that, and it was not always a, when we first went there, it was a tough time. Was that a good way to say it? It was kind of a tough situation. Not sure where we were doing, why we were there, and went through this whole process. But it was kind of neat the way God always gives you a blessing. And when we were there, one of the blessings that we had was the people that lived there before had planted some trees. They were orchard trees. There was some apple trees of different varieties. Then over on the back side of the property, there were some pear trees. And there was one peach tree, which was up by where the garden area was. One peach tree. That peach tree was producing fruit that was bigger and sweeter and better than any Calhoun peach I have ever eaten in my life. Now, if you can believe that, that is the truth. My wife attests to that. For I think two, maybe 3 years, was it maybe 3 years, 2 years, we had fruit from that tree that was the most luscious, delicious, succulent. It was the kind of peach that you didn't care if it just ran down your face when you ate it. That's how delicious it was. And after the second year, it died. It just died, producing this beautiful, healthy, delicious fruit. I mean, there weren't any indications of any problems or anything. The dumb tree just died. We were flabbergasted. We were dismayed. And as I thought about that, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, that was a negative thing for us because the tree was no longer giving us its peaches. But you know what? I thought about that. And as I thought about this preparation for the sermon, that's exactly what the tree was supposed to do. It did what it was supposed to do, and it gave fruit every year until it died, and it died, and that was it. No more fruit. The analogy that I see is that's the way I want to be, and that's the way I hope you want to be. I hope that when our time is done, when God calls us to be home with Him, that we're like that peach tree, we're producing fruit, and then all of a sudden people say, whoa, what happened? That person's gone. There's no more fruit. It was exciting what God was doing in their life. That's the way I want to be, and I hope you want to be that way too. That we are producing fruit that is so recognizable and so wonderful and delicious, as it were, to people around us, that they would be drawn to Jesus Christ. They would say, wow, what a life they have. And we live it that way until we die, right up until the day we die. Go out in a blaze of glory. That's what Paul's talking about when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. We are to be living a life in a way that is pleasing to Him. So when we look at that, the last two messages we had, we spoke about the importance of knowing Jesus Christ, of having an intimacy and a devotion to Him. And as a result of that, there would be a desire then to make Him known, to reveal Him to others through our lives, by our words and by our actions. That requires becoming what? If we're going to do that, if we're going to be able to be an influence for people, you have to be involved in people's lives. Now, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be wonderful if people around us, both believers and non-believers, were always kind to us? They were always pleasant and courteous to us. If we never had any headaches or worries, or if we ever never knew what it was to be tired or under stress or terrific pressure. But you see, if that were true, then the fruit of the Spirit in your life and mine would probably go unnoticed because it wouldn't be needed. But life's not like that. Life's not like that. It's in the midst of those difficulties. It's in the midst of those hardships that we especially need the fruit of the Spirit. And it's at such times that God may especially work through us to then touch other people for Christ by the fruit in our life, the fruit of the Spirit. You see, it's God's desire for us to take on His character. He instructs us to do this. He instructs us, put off your old self. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's God's design for you and me. We are to be molding ourselves, or allowing ourselves to be molded into the character and the quality of Jesus Christ. You have to put off the old thing and put on the new. And that's what he's talking about here in Galatians. He's talking about no longer walking by the fleshly desires, but walking according to the Spirit of God. I am to be changed more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. A mind that's filled with the love of Christ, a mind that is allowing God to work, will be changed into His likeness. And we all, Paul says, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord. As we look at Jesus, Paul says, we will be transformed into that same image of Christ, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord. Here's an interesting little thing, though. You know, in this part, he says, okay, as I look at God and I fix my eyes upon Jesus, I'm going to become more like Him. But we need to recognize, this is a small little statement in this text that says, because this is from the Lord, the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit referred to here is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. And one of the main functions of the Holy Spirit is to do what? Is to develop Christ-like character in you and me. We call that the fruit of the Spirit. That character quality is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, when you look at the Scriptures, the nine fruit of the Spirit are not just the only things that God is going to work in and through you, but these are very specific in that they are evidences directly of the Holy Spirit working in you and in me. So, when we think about fruit, what are we talking about? What is God's expectation? What is His expectation in our lives as far as the fruit of the Spirit? Well, a fruitful life is expressed in many ways. We see a fruitful life, as I alluded to earlier, in the Balmers. They're a family with children. And so we see that fruitfulness there in a home with children. Or many of you raise gardens and many of you have flowers. I love the beautiful flowers that people bring in and put in those vases. That's an evidence of a beautiful, bountiful flower garden or a vegetable garden. And many of you raise gardens that have beautiful produce in them. Farmers, we have a lot of farmers in here. And you know what? For you, a fruitful season is great yields of corn and beans. You love it. How about a job? The job can bear fruit in that it may have, your job may have steady growth. Your business is growing. And the list goes on and on. So fruitfulness happens in our lives every day. Now the model for this fruitfulness, I believe, begins with God. When God created the heavens and the earth, when He created the universe, He had this wonderful and magnificent display of beauty and awesomeness that was there before man to be able to see and behold. And you know, so in the midst of all that creation, in the midst of all that fruitfulness of the creativity, one of the first things that he did after he had created man and woman, he turned specifically to the man and the woman, and he said this commandment. He said, what? Be fruitful and multiply. That was God's direct commandment. Be fruitful and multiply. So it's God's desire, his expectation from the very beginning of creation. Yes, this has to do with the aspect of procreation and of populating the earth. But I also believe that it means that God wants us not only in our physical lives, but also in our spiritual lives to be fruitful. That's a principle that is very from the very foundation of the beginning of the world. Now, Webster, we all love Webster. He's the authority on definitions, okay? Webster says this about fruit. He said, fruit is what? Well, one of the definitions, obviously, one of the first definitions is it's a product of fertilization. You know, fruit is coming from its offspring. But it can also mean this. It can mean the effect or consequence of what? An action or an operation, i.e. the produce or the result, the end product. And that's kind of what we're talking about here. You see, God, the Holy Spirit, uses the word fruit frequently in the scriptures. And why does he use that? Well, he indicates what he expects of us. Here's God's expectation. He expects of us believers that we are to have godly character. So that's why we're going to be looking at this fruit of the Spirit. We're going to look at what God expects and wants and desires in our lives. And here they are. There's 9 of them. There's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of those are God's expectation for your life and for mine. Now, I want to just kind of digress here just for a minute, and I want to make just a very brief distinction as we look at this. We talk about the gifts of the Spirit, and we talk about now the fruit of the Spirit. Well, there's a distinction here. I want to make a distinction between those two. You see, here's the key. The gifts of the Spirit, and they're different. The gifts of the Spirit are what? They're special enablements. They're spiritual enablements. And these gifts are designed to be used by believers in the building up of the body of Christ. They're very specific to the body of Christ. So when God administered and created, as it were, the body of Christ, the church, he instituted gifts from the Spirit that were to be given to individuals in order to be used to build up the body of Christ. So when you look at those things, some of those things are the gifts are serving. Some of them are teaching, maybe the exhortation or encouragement, the gift of giving financially, the gift of leadership, and the list goes on and on. There are a number of different specific spiritual gifts, and they're divided up among believers. Now, believe it or not, here's something that you need to know. Each of you in this room has at least, as a believer in Jesus Christ, one spiritual gift. Some of you have more, but those gifts were given to you to be able to be used in the body of Christ for the building up of the body of Christ. So your responsibility is to know what that gift is and to use it for the body of Christ. Now it's going to come naturally as you're allowing the Spirit to work in your life. So each of you as a believer has this. You have one or more spiritual gifts from God. But unlike the spiritual gifts, the fruit of the Spirit is not divided among believers. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that all Christians, everyone in this room, should be marked by the fruit of the Spirit. Your life should have the fruit of the Spirit. All of you have different individual gifts, but every one of us in this room should be exhibiting and allowing to grow into our life those 9 fruit of the Spirit. That's a mandatory thing God wants and desires for all of us. So that's the distinction that I want to make between that. So the fruit of the Spirit is God's expectation in your life and mine. And you and I are to bear fruit as the Word of God begins to work in our lives in His power. So we want to take a look at the next section and understand that's God's expectation. He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to have fruit of the Spirit. The next thing is, what's the source and power of this? Where does it come from? Where is it that we receive that? It's interesting to know that in the Bible, that it talks about the fruit of the Spirit rather than fruits. You ever notice that? It's fruit of the Spirit. A tree may bear many apples, but all of them come from the same tree. And that's kind of the idea that he's talking about here. It's fruit. In the same way, the Holy Spirit is the fruit of all, or the source of all fruit in our lives. Paul makes a very powerful statement concerning this source. Paul says that in this section here, notice this. He says, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves. In other words, we weren't saved by our good works. We weren't saved by anything we did. And it's the same way in the sense of our spiritual life as far as the fruit of the Spirit. We can't say that this comes from us. No. Where's it come from? Our adequacy, the fruit of the Spirit, as it were, is from God. Anything we have as far as godly character comes from God, as we allow Him to do His work in us. He is the one who made it possible. Ultimately, that power, as we see it, comes from where? It comes from the life of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the one who made it possible for us to be able to receive that power. When we trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we were saved. Jesus promised that when He left, He would send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who would come along. And the word Comforter there means paraclete, someone who's called alongside. So Jesus said, I'm going to send someone to you, to live in you, to work in you, who is going to make you become more like Me. He's going to give you spiritual power, and that's going to be the Holy Spirit of God. So it's a promise from God. In our own selves, we're what? We're filled with all kinds of self-centeredness. We're filled with selfishness, self-seeking desires, and those are opposed to the will of God. Left to ourselves as believers, apart from allowing God to work, we would be totally and are totally selfish. That's why Paul began his section in Galatians, as I read, with all of the desires of the flesh. He sets out a contrast between the flesh, self-centeredness, and walking by the Holy Spirit of God. Paul said, walk by the Spirit, and you will not, what? Carry out the desire of the flesh. So the Holy Spirit of God, He is key and instrumental in producing in me Christ-likeness. God wants us, in Galatians, Paul talks about those things in our life that are of the flesh. God wants to get rid of those things. It's called sin. When you look at all of those things in Galatians there at the beginning, it's sin. Things that are hindering us from allowing God to do His perfect work in us. And He wants us to get rid of the sin and then be filled with His Spirit and allow Him to produce His fruit in us. He's our adequacy. That's the source of our power. But our sin is what prevents us from allowing the Holy Spirit to effectively and adequately produce that fruit. So we have to deal with that issue of sin in our lives and taking care of that. So that's the source, is the Holy Spirit of God. Now, how does it happen? In other words, like fruit, we know the biological way in which fruit grows. Well, how does the fruit of the Spirit grow in your life? How does that happen? How is it that God brings that about? Well, when you think about that, there are a lot of ways in which this procedure or this process, and it is a process, okay? Don't think that little peach tree that we had just one year started and had peaches. No, they probably started out being very small, and there was maybe just a few of them. But as that tree grew and matured, the fruit began to grow, and it began to become bigger, and it began to become more sweet. So it's the same thing in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is that process that works in our hearts and our lives as we grow in Him. And there are a lot of different ways in which that can be taking place. But there's a couple of them that I want to take a look at today. Turn with me, if you would, hold your fingers there, and go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, I think, is a beautiful illustration of how this process takes place in the sense of how the Holy Spirit can work in our lives and can bring about fruit. Psalm 1, we're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. The psalmist says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, So there it is. That's that process again. I can't have any sin. Sin can't be in my life on a habitual pattern. It has to be taken care of. I can't expect to be a believer being blessed by God and being filled with His Spirit and allowing the fruit of the Spirit to be produced in me if I'm walking in sin. There has to be a taking care of the sin. So the person that doesn't do that is a blessed person. But what happens? His delight is what? In the law of the Lord. And in His law he meditates day and night. Here's what happens. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit and its leaf in season, and its leaf doesn't wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Here, the bearing of spiritual fruit is closely and adequately related to what? To the Word of God, to the place that the Word of God has in our lives. The man who meditates upon the Word of God, who studies it, as we read the Word of God and as we meditate, that word meditate, and I'm going to say it over and over again, it's chewing the cud. What the cow does, brings that nourishment back up so that you get everything out. As we meditate on the Bible, the Holy Spirit, by the way, don't forget that the Holy Spirit is the one who wrote the Bible. He's the one that inspired. He's the one that moved in the hearts and lives of men and women. So if the Word of God was inspired and moved by the Holy Spirit of God, don't you think that if He's going to bear fruit in my life and yours, that we need to be in the Word of God? Yes, we do. Because that's the source from which we can receive the power and the ability to be able to be growing in Him. So as we do that, as we read the Word of God, it convicts us of that sin. It convicts us of the things that need to be removed. And it redirects us to God's standard for our lives that we should be living. So here's the key. Apart from the Word of God, there will be no lasting spiritual growth or fruit bearing in your life and mine. If I'm not in the Word of God, I can't expect the fruit of the Spirit to be produced in my life. I need to be in the Word of God, making it a priority. The second passage that I think that talks about is, for me, is John 15. So turn with me to John 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And we're going to go to chapter 15. We're going to be reading verses 4 and 5. John 15, verses 4 and 5. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He talks about the fact that he's the vine and my Father's the vine dresser. And he says there, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bring more fruit. You are already clean because of the word of which I have spoken to you. But here's the key. Abide in me, Jesus says, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears what? Much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So, apart from the Word of God, there will be no lasting spiritual growth. There's a lot of truth in this passage. I would challenge you to go through and read that passage through and meditate upon it and think upon it, because there's lots of stuff there. But a couple of them that I think I want to especially note this morning. First of all, this is a command to every believer. Every believer. What? Here's the command from Jesus. Abide in me. Abide in me. In other words, allowing Christ to dwell with intimacy in my life with nothing coming between us. To dwell means to live with. I need to have an intimacy with Him in order to be able to allow nothing between us. Nothing to hinder that work of the Holy Spirit. The passage also tells us that we can bear fruit if we abide in Christ. It says that you will bear much fruit when you look at that. It's a powerful thing. Bearing much fruit. So, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's what God says, what Jesus said. We can't display the fruit of the Spirit in our lives if there's ongoing sin in our lives. It's going to hinder us from producing fruit. We tried something new this year. When we were in Wyoming, maybe I've told you this already, but we rented one of those little box gardens. Okay, the town had a place where you could go and rent a garden. And it was about 4x8. And we had great produce there and tomatoes and everything. So we thought, we're going to try that back here. So we built one. The farmer came and dumped the dirt in there. And we got this beautiful dirt and everything's growing. And on one half, the tomatoes are going crazy. They're just going nuts. There's almost too many of them. And I've got cucumbers. But on the other side, we had beautiful zucchinis. And all of a sudden, it was like Jonah going out there and his tree was there one day and then it withered, you know? I felt like that. I walked out there one day and the plants are, it's all withering and it's just dying. And I think there were these little brown eggs underneath the leaves. And I talked to the farmer next to us, and he said, there's a special bug that bores into the stem right above the root. And when I pulled that apart, I noticed that all of the stem was rotten. And he said, yeah, that's that little bug. He gets in there. You know what? When you think about this, you can't display the fruit of the Spirit. That zucchini gave us like 3 or 4 or 5 great-looking zucchinis. Then all of a sudden, it's like that, you know, next day it was dead. It's like sin. We cannot expect to have fruit of the Spirit working in our lives and evidenced in our lives when there is sin in our life. Because it's like that plant, it's going to rot and it's going to take away the ability to be able to do that. So there, you have to get rid of the sin. The secret of abiding is obedience. That's the key. And it's like that zucchini plant. If we don't obey, we're not allowing God to take care of that sin in our lives, and we're not going to be able to be fruitful. But here's the key, the promise, as we get ready to close. As we abide in Christ, the life of Christ, like it's like that life-giving sap in a tree or a vine, will flow into you as you dwell in Christ. And it'll produce fruit to the glory of the Father. And your fruit will be a blessing to other people. Just like that peach tree we had a wonderful blessing to us as far as that fruit. You as a believer, your life evidencing the fruit of the Spirit to the people around you, both to believers and non-believers, will be a blessing to them. That's the way God intends it to be in your life and in mine. And just as the fruit on a fruit tree or a vine takes time to mature and often pruning, and we're not even going to go into that aspect of what Jesus talked about there, but very quickly, you have to prune. There has to be a pruning in your life of that sin. Sometimes God's pruning is not always pleasant, but it's there for a reason. And it doesn't make sense sometimes to do that. My brother-in-law, Tommy, is an agronomist. He was an expert agronomist with pecans. I mean, he was one of the sole pecan plant breeders in the United States. So he was very good. And he came over to the house one year when we were still in Bentley, and all of our apple trees, they were okay, but they were kind of funky apples. He said, I said, what do I have to do? Spray them? He said, no, you got to prune them. I said, okay, so what do you mean by pruning it? He says, I mean pruning it. He says, I want you to take the very center of that apple. It's a beautiful apple tree, big, round, nice, beautiful looking apple tree. He says, I want you to take that and I want you to cut out a little V right in the middle of that thing. I want you to take that and I want you to cut that out, bring it down about 2 feet from the top, whack that out, and then I want you to whack off everything on the outside so there's just enough branches on the outside. He says, it's going to be the ugliest looking, frumpiest looking tree. Your neighbors will make fun of you because of that ugly tree. But he says, I guarantee when you prune it that way, it'll produce the best fruit. Why? Because what happens is when you open up that middle, it allows the sunlight to come down into that tree. And if you take a look at groves of apple trees where they produce them as a commercial thing, those little trees do have that little thing cut out. They look frumpy, but it produced the best apples we ever had. Pruning is not easy and it's ugly, but it's what God wants to do in your life and mine in order to make you more productive for Him. Here's the question that I have for you. Are you abiding in Christ? That's the primary condition God sets before us in order to really bear fruit. The question that we have for you, is there any unconfessed sin in your life? Is there any lack of discipline in your life? Any broken relationship with another person that needs healing? If that's true, then I would admonish you to confess it to Christ, and then you can truly live the fruitful life that God intended. As we come into this series on the fruit of the Spirit, do a self-examination. Ask yourself, is there something that God wants to prune in me? Some sin that He wants to prune away in my life? Am I willing to allow Him to take care of that? Am I willing to confess it to Him and then ask Him to forgive me and then to change and turn away from it? That's the key. Then and only then will the Holy Spirit be able to produce His fruit in your life. Then and only then will you truly be a blessing to those people around you. Father, we thank you for the fruit of the Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one that wants to do that in us. And we pray, Lord, that our hearts would be open, to be honest, to understand if there's anything in us that is hurtful, that we would confess it to you and turn away from it. And we praise you for the fruit that you're going to bear in us, in Jesus' name. Amen.